Town Talk, powered by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank, our focus this morning, and we welcome to the program, back with us, Oya Oliver and LaToya Brown with the Food Bank. Good morning, Oya and LaToya. It is great to have you here this morning.
Sure. Good morning, Ted. We always love to come see you.
That's right.
We have a lot to talk about. When I last saw you, LaToya, summer feeding was still in the early stages. From everything I've heard, it was a big success. I've heard from a lot of people that were involved in it one way or another, and it was a great summer.
It was an awesome summer, a very challenging summer, but for the fifth year, we were able to serve our community with freshly prepared meals, and what an awesome summer it's been. This was the first year, as I told you earlier in the season, that we were able to provide, in addition to the children's meals that we provide, we were able to provide family meals to the parents. So it was a very big increase this year in participation.
That was something I know at the beginning you were really looking forward to and felt like that was kind of a game changer in all this, to be able to because in the past the parents couldn't.
Exactly. We have rules which are mandated by the USDA to focus on feeding children during the summertime. So we would allow parents to eat like leftovers, things off of the share table, but they weren't actually allowed to have a full meal served to them that they can sit down and enjoy family style. So this year, like you said, was a big game changer.
The whole overall program this year, as far as the numbers go, how did you were looking at the beginning, you thought you'd feed a lot more. Was that the case?
That was definitely the case. We fed a little over 9,600 children alone. That doesn't include the parent meals. So we definitely tipped that 10,000 meals served throughout this summer this year.
9,600 for
children. Yes.
For children.
Yes.
Wow. That says so much. And we could sit and talk for that for an hour about just the needs. I mean, Oya, you talk about that all the time.
It's versus, we almost had 6,000 last year. Right?
Yes.
It's a big jump.
Wow. Yes. And the fact that is just the children, you're not because otherwise you could say, well, you had the parents this year.
Exactly.
That's just the kids.
The children.
That's kind of that's got to be a little bit worrisome, Oya. You've seen, and especially because you've seen this over the years, and sometimes these kind of numbers, you start seeing them go up, and it's sort of an indication of what's happening.
We listen about economy being so great and this and that, but we didn't see any effects, did you, on the people we feed?
Yeah, and the numbers just go up.
All our programs.
Yes. It's, you know, it is a little disheartening when you think about the need, but it's also encouraging because we are filling that gap.
Yes.
So many kids depend on free and reduced price meals during the school year. So what happens to those children during the summer?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we miss those kids because they don't know about the program. They aren't able to come to programs like Kids on the Go Summer Feeding. But this year we saw that increase. So to us, we were able to reach a bigger population of people that needed these meals. So that's very encouraging for us.
Well, that is, because in every year, that's when we talk about summer feeding, LaToya, your big thing is get the word out. You want people to know, and that's obviously happening.
Yes. I think one of the biggest barriers in any type of program like this is just the awareness that this program exists.
Yes.
The awareness of how it operates. Sometimes people look at programs like this and like, oh, that's just for poor people or whatever. No. These programs are for any child who is 18 years or younger, and this year, all parents.
Yeah.
But it's for anybody who would like to cut their grocery bill in half, who finds themselves struggling during the summer months. It's open. And one of the greatest things that we're able to do is provide the meals in an open atmosphere. Because of the regulations that guide us, to establish meals in areas where 50% or more of the children qualify for free or reduced meals, we know that we are hitting that targeted population.
Wow. So that is good. One of the lasting impressions I'll always have now of summer feeding was when I saw you this year, and when we were there, it was on a Monday, and so you were just getting things ready.
Yes.
But you had all the coolers stacked out. And I couldn't believe the number of coolers you had.
Yes. I think this year we used close to 40, 45 coolers.
Just to see all of those out shows
yes.
you it
they
was a
big,
great.
Big, large coolers.
Yes. Yeah. Across the whole program. And as you know, we have our white signature bag that we pack each of our
yeah.
meals in. And our coolers are all white as well. And so when you see those coolers coming out to all of our sites throughout Planning District 16, you know that a good lunch is coming to those kids that need it the most.
Well, and just to watch your volunteers. And boy, you have volunteers that are just faithful in there. And you know, making those sandwiches and putting everything together and just doing it, you know, going right by the book of what you have to do. And that's you really have some great volunteers.
Oh, yes.
And they sit on the sides to deliver that food to kids.
Yes.
100-degree weather.
Yes. We, all across the board, throughout the whole process of getting these real meals ready to reach the tables of children,
yeah.
I mean, from meal prep to packing the lunches in the coolers, to getting them stacked on the trucks to go out to delivery, to like Ms. Oya said, delivering at our sites, some of which are outdoors, our volunteers have been very committed. And that's one of the challenging things in a program like this, is to continue to have volunteers that will stay with the program and make sure that it's successful throughout the summer. So kudos to everyone that had a hand yeah. in helping us provide these meals this summer.
Wow, I mean, we're going to talk about schools, what you offer in schools and things you need. But boy, you and Latoya, you go from one to the next, and boy, Latoya, it never slows down for you because
no, there's no time.
As you're right in the middle of school, and you're having to plan. You start planning for kids on the go. But boy, I mean, kids on the go. I told you before. I mean, you're. Well, this program, I mean, you are just really a hero in this area, but which you've done to pull this together, and it's just so many people depend on it, and it is just really a terrific program every summer.
Yeah, they look forward to it.
Yes.
The day the school closes, about 70 days or so during the summer,
yeah.
there is no school, and these kids will not have any lunch for, they get 3 times a week?
Yes.
Yeah, no, we remember we used to talk about it, and you just lamented the fact.
Yeah.
And this was before we knew Latoya was around here, but you would lament the fact that during breaks, but especially during the summer, all these kids who depended on school meals weren't getting them.
Yeah, I told you before how it started. We got calls from some subdivision saying there was kids beating on the doors begging for food.
Yeah.
During the day, I guess the lunch they were missing, and that's what started with us. Those phone calls we got, then we said we're gonna do something. We're gonna come up with a program.
Yeah,
and there was the summer luncheons.
And I think that the real heroes are our community partners,
yes,
because without them allowing them to come in and use
yeah.
their space.
Yeah.
To make these meals available, we could not reach the kids that we targeted each summer. So all of our partners at all of our 10 sites, I mean, they are the heroes. They allow their doors to be open. They
yeah.
make space available. They come up with fun activities for the kids to partake in while they're having a meal. So we could never, as the food bank, do what we do without our volunteers, our partners, and our wonderful staff, because our staff had to really hustle
this summer.
Yeah.
Especially,
it was a lot of hustling going on in the warehouse this summer. And
still recovering.
Yes. Each challenge that presented itself, we all had to band together. Sometimes we're like, hey, get out of my way. Hey, you're getting on my nerves. But just
yeah.
like a family,
yeah.
we all came together for the mission of making sure mm-hmm. that these meals went out on time and got to the location so kids can enjoy them.
And so whenever there was an illness and absenteeism, we had to hurry up, shuffle everybody.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I know. People just
need new, new program.
Everybody did what you had to do because it's you always had to be preparing for the next day.
That's right.
And a lot of people don't know, you know, what goes on behind the scenes. That's why we appreciate you giving that glimpse of actually what happens, because it's planning, it's making sure you have the food ordered. Sometimes we had challenges with getting our food on time and in the warehouses, so we're scrambling, trying to make sure that we have everything we need for that week's menu. So, you know, we can look back in hindsight and go, phew, we made it. Yeah. But it was a pretty intense summer.
You don't realize till you do it that you worked in crisis.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit more about that, because when I did come over and see it, it was an eye opener to see all just how it all comes out. But you also just see how the community really appreciates it. Latoya Brown and Oya Oliver here from the Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank. We need to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue to talk about this, and then also talk about there are some events coming up. And we'll talk about food for families and all kinds of things. Fredfood.org, the website for the Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank. Fredfood.org. We'll also talk about this morning how you can get involved and help the food bank. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Oh, yeah, Oliver and Latoya Brown here from the Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank. We're talking about all of the terrific things that the food bank provides. The Kids on the Go summer feeding has just ended. It's kind of different, Latoya, because just with everybody going back to school early now, you've kind of had to adjust. In past years, you would have been we would have been talking and you would have been winding down. But with school back, you've had to kind of, and everybody getting out earlier, you've had to adjust your schedules.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And the shift has taken place because Wednesday, which is generally the day that all of our schools visit the warehouse to stock things up at school for their kids, it was full of school
contacts. Yeah.
And they were all like, Miss Brown, we're ready to get our snacks and things. So it's like, shift on to the next thing.
Yeah, totally. Before we shift on to the next thing, because you'd mentioned, I came over kind of early on and I saw the making of the food and just the whole setup that you had, and it really is something. And there's a video, and we will repost that on our Facebook page. But also getting to talk to just seeing some of the groups that benefited, some of the sites. The lady I talked to from Caroline was
Shamika Baker,
so appreciative, and that's what you get. You see, it's one thing to talk to you and your passion and you talking about it, but you talk to some of the people that are really affected, and you just see what that program meant to Caroline County this summer.
Oh yes. And Caroline, I always joke, you know, we always say that Caroline County had been our problem child in previous years.
Yeah.
Not because the need wasn't there, but because we've been trying to figure out a way to make sure we can get the meals to kids.
And Caroline's
the kids coming to the meals.
Caroline's a tough, it's a big county, but everything is so far apart sometimes.
Yeah, it is. So I think we had a wonderful combination of sites this year. And you mentioned Miss Baker from Caroline's Promise. She was at the Lady Smith Community Center in Caroline County. And we fed a bunch of kids there that was from several different summer enrichment programs. All there housed at that building. And they had a tremendous year, their first year of operation. So we're super excited about what's to come in the next few years.
Yeah.
But you had the opportunity of catching her in the warehouse and just seeing how it impacted her and the children she served.
Yeah. No, her passion. I thought you were passionate about this stuff, but she was. She just talked about it from just the kids being helped, and it was very moving. And I was glad that that worked out. As you transition, and we'll talk about what food for families means, but you've got an event coming up where people can get involved in help, and this is to help food for families, isn't it?
Yes. So on Saturday, August the 24th, at Spotsylvania Town Center, we will have Peter Bondra, and he will be doing a charity signing, and all proceeds will benefit the Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank for the purpose of our Food for Families program. For those who don't know what Food for Families is, it's our in-school pantry program. So we establish pantries where families can go right to their schools and receive emergency food in a time of need. So we love that program. We want to continue to grow that program. In previous years, we've had challenges with keeping that program funded, only because a lot of people are moving towards the fresher food. But when we think about it, those non-perishable items, those are very important to create basic meals in the family. And so we want to make sure that we continue to make those available to our schools. And so Rich Lieberman from Leaders in Sports, he's always been a great supporter of that program.
He is just a terrific guy, and he loves the food bank. He loves food for families.
He hates recognition, but it's like, how can you continue to have this program and receive the support that he gives without mentioning the work that he does? So he's always been a great supporter, and this is probably going to be one of his last events right now. He's going into retirement, but he wanted to make sure that he continued his commitment to us, and so this will be a great event. Those of you who are hockey fans and want to come out and get signings, take pictures, things of that nature, coming out on Saturday. They will be there between 1:30 and 2:30 at the Center Court in Spotsylvania Town Center.
That's next Saturday between 1:30 and 2:30, and like you say, the Food for Families program he has done for so many years. He does these events and he gives 100%.
Yes,
he'll auction things off or do things like this with signings, and he's just so committed to and that's that kind of commitment is what you need from partners and people to do that.
Yeah, I remember the first day he came to the food bank that I met him there. And once he looked around, he see our program.
Yeah.
We gave him a little information. He was considering donate us turkeys at that day. He said he's going to do a fundraiser and buy turkeys so we'll be able to give it out. He's talking about a couple thousand turkeys.
Yeah.
And it didn't exactly go through financially, sport-wise, like he hoped to. And he paid everything out of his pocket. He made sure we got what he said we will have.
Well, remember, we did a show, and I'm trying to think. I'm not sure. I know you were here, Oy, and I knew Rich was here, and it was
Michelle
was here. Uh-huh. And so at one point, I just said to Rich, why don't you just talk, if you want to talk just a few minutes about Leaders in Sports. Yeah. And he said, I don't want to talk about it. Let's just talk about the food bank.
Yeah.
And that's just the kind of person he just does not want to. He just wants to focus on, and this is a, and I know Food for Families and getting those pantries in schools. What's it cost for a pan? Because there's a you've got like a cost number for each pantry.
Yeah, we estimated that it's about $600 to get a pantry up and established to be able to start supporting families. But we are transitioning a little bit this year, so we will be able to provide more of government commodities, which is our TFAP program, through the pantry. So that will offset a little bit of the cost it is to provide this food, but it will give us a bigger amount of food that we can distribute.
Boy, and that's how important is that? Just because when you talk about, 9,600 kids that you dealt with this summer, you know that that's in all of these schools, and then that's just a small part of the needs in the schools.
Yes, it really is.
Oh yeah.
And every year we try to see how we can make not only our children's programs, but all of our programs, senior programs, family programs, our mobile pantry programs, how we can make it better, how we can use our resources more effectively to reach more people.
Boy, you sure have done that. LaToya, I mean, it's as far as just getting. I mean, you watch how things work, and you make the changes that you need to. And just like you said, with the Food for Families, just how you're kind of transitioning around. So you're a thinker.
Well, we follow our great leader right here, Miss LaToya. She made sure that we work together. She made sure that it's not about any one person, because I can be removed from the equation. Any one of us can be removed from the equation.
Yeah.
And the problem is still there and it still needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
So the biggest way to attack it is to work as a team, a united team. There's no big eyes. It's all of us working together.
It's
and, you know, sometimes you see my face and you think, oh, this is her program. No, it's not my program. It's a program of the Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank.
Yeah.
And it takes our whole staff to be able to make this program available.
So, LaToya, if someone wants to get involved with Food for Families, the thing you're looking for at least to be able to grow it is financial contributions?
Oh, yes. We always like the big three. We need financial contributions. We need volunteers because we will be pre-packing boxes for the school. But another big piece is to just raise awareness of the existence of this program and families know to check at their schools. If your school did not have a pantry, contact us. See how we can come out there and get one established. So raising that awareness is another huge piece.
It really works. Some of the schools doing that now. Teachers, they keep an eye on the need in the school, and they will help those families in the way so there's no embarrassment for them, for children. And some people hide. They don't tell their needs because of the pride issue, you know that.
And I think that's what's great about this program, because the teachers and the administrators see that. And they're able to just quietly behind the scenes work and provide.
Yes.
That's true. That's the greatest thing about it. That's what I like the most.
Yeah, because I know how it's kind of transitioned to where you don't now just go give kids food, just because kids are kids and they've got questions. Why are you taking that home and that kind of thing?
Yeah. It's true. And as the child gets older, I think the stigma attached it becomes greater for them, because, you know, no kid wants to be like, well, I get food from school, or, you know, I have to rely on this resource for somebody. But if we can make it convenient for them, keep their dignity intact for the family to get what they need, but, you know, still keep that confidentiality piece, what perfect way than to partner with schools?
Yeah. The Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank, our focus this morning. Right now we're talking about food for families. 371-7666 if you want to find out more information, or go to fredfood.org. And much more to go. We're going to talk about some more events and talk again. I'm going to talk a little bit more about getting involved with Food for Families, because I didn't know about the volunteer component that you need for packing stuff. So we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back too. LaToya Brown here, and Oya Oliver from the Food Bank. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:32.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station.
News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is Town Talk this morning. We're talking with the Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank. Oya Oliver here. LaToya Brown is here. Before we took the break there, LaToya, we were talking about the Food for Families, and you had mentioned to me, and I guess I never had even thought about this, that as far as volunteered things go, you do need help with packing things all the items that go to schools. And if you're looking for volunteer activities, and there's a lot of them, and we'll talk about some of the other ones, but there's one if you want to get involved with Food for Families.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm. This year we'll be packing boxes so that the schools can easily distribute the food to families. Because what we ran into, although we like the client choice, a lot of times schools, they really need to just focus on getting that food to the family as quickly as possible. So what better way than to have a pre-packed box? In those boxes, it's just basic pantry staples that they can create meals and they can build upon those meals. So we want to make sure that we have these boxes ready. When the schools order them, we just pull them out, they come pick them up, and they distribute to the families.
And so you have a little team that kind of gets together to do that?
Well, we schedule different people. Different groups come. It will become an opportunity on our volunteer calendar. So people can look on fredfood.org, click on Get Involved. become a volunteer, first of all, and then they will be able to see that volunteer calendar, and then they can sign up for those things. Or they can always contact me directly, LA Brown at fredfood.org.
LA Brown at fredfood.org. couldn't be any easier to get a hold of you. Again, it's fredfood.org for the website for the Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank. You've got an event coming up, Oya, on October the 5th. It's at the fairgrounds. This is the first time I think you've done something like this.
We did one last year.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's called Porktoberfest.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I guess it has something to do with pork.
Yeah. It's like that, but it's not the pork. We laugh about it. Our volunteer coordinator, Carrie Seeley.
Yeah.
She put it together last year, and it went very well for the new event, you know, first try. So we got to set it up again for this year. If anybody wants any information about it and help us, like she said, or volunteerism, or in any way.
Yes. It's going to be food, lots of fun, live music, Shelby Lynn, Caroline Ayers, and the Wellingans.
Okay.
I'm not sure who they are, but sounds like it's going to be a great time. So we want to invite everyone to come on out. And again, that's October 5th, 2019, and come out for food, fun, and of course, raising awareness about hunger in our area.
Right. It's helping in what your involvement is going to help the food bank.
Yes.
What time does it start?
I'm not sure of the exact time. Hold on. Let me check. They can go to our website and
look. Just go to check on fredfood.org as more comes to this. But again, it's October 5th at the fairgrounds and another chance to be able to help the food bank.
They have barbecue and good food available. Last year, food was good, too.
Yeah. Well, so, and again, Oya, these are the kind of things, these kind of events or volunteering or making donations to the food bank or doing food drives, and it all helps you because the food bank is what you're helping so many pantries around the area.
Yes. We have about 71 pantries. Whew. In our service area.
I know they all go in and out.
Mobile pantry sites.
Right. Yes. Yeah. You're in the mobile pantry that continues to be something that's in use. Yeah, that you're going out into the community and people aren't always having to come to you.
We wish we have more sites that we could do the mobile pantry, and we need more pantries too. If you know any organization should have the qualifications that like to join. Oh, she's looking at me. I get more pantries. I'm going to hide it from LaToya.
Well, that's the thing. As this area grows and the needs are all there, it's just kind of happened. I know that you're meeting needs. It's not as though these pantries are just popping up so you can have more. You have them because there are such needs around here.
Yes. Also fresh food.
Yes.
It's right.
And one thing about the pantries, each pantry is very unique and they reach a different part of the population. So they are well needed. People find places where they feel that they can trust the people that serve them. They feel comfortable with going there. And so we do need a wide array of different organizations that can reach the population of people that we can't physically reach. There are hands and feet. There are eyes and ears. So anyone who's interested or maybe have thought about establishing a pantry, just you're invited to have a conversation with us. You're invited to come and take a tour. Ms. Oya always opens our door to the warehouse, and she always tells people, if you're not sure about how we do what we do, come take a tour.
That's the best way. Everybody comes, takes a tour, they say, ooh, I never dreamed you have this type of operation.
You do. You see, it's. I think it's bigger than anyone has any idea about, and just the amount of food that goes in and out of there on a weekly basis.
Yeah, some of our busy days, we don't even have a place to park the cars.
Oh, I've been there, yeah.
Way over the grass and
yard. Well, and I also must say that the two of you are here on a on a day that's a day off for you. And so I appreciate that, you talk about going and doing tours any time of the day or it's a day off and the two of you are in here talking about the food bank. So
well, the mission never dies.
Yeah.
And hunger doesn't stop. So anytime we have the opportunity to spread awareness, share what's going on in our neck of the woods, and let the community know how they can get involved. We want to definitely take advantage of that opportunity.
The Food for Life program, Moya, I know is something that for years you've worked on, and those numbers keep increasing. Well, and Food for Life is for the senior citizens.
Yes, they have 65 age.
Yes,
they have to be. We have Food for Life, and then we have Brown Bag.
Yeah, no,
Brown Box 60 program.
Years or older.
They have 60.
Six, okay.
Older. Yeah.
So is the Brown Bag is something new, isn't it?
No. Brown Bag has always been there.
Okay.
But that is for people who may not qualify by age, but they have some sort of disability and receive some sort of supplemental income for that disability.
Boy, when you the seniors program though, Oya, that's a group that they're kind of silently out there. There are a lot of needs, and
a lot of needs.
The food bank has really illustrated and been able to tell that story.
Seniors hide their needs more than the younger people and kids even. You know, it's hard to reach them, have them come to us and talk to us or join our programs or whatever, because the pride issue for them too.
Sure.
Especially when you have seniors that they can either eat, not have medication, or they have medication, they stay hungry, miss meals.
Mm.
It's sad, you know. People, like I'm one of my seniors, it's not that I'm in the program, but you work your whole life. You raise your children, family, and community for the country, be a good citizens and everything. And then when you're not able to do it anymore, you are down either your health or finances, and then you're going to have to do without until you die. That's really sad.
Yeah, it's horrible. And what a terrible choice to have to make.
Yes.
Food or medication when you need both.
Yeah, but they're not able to get it.
No, you're not able to pay for it.
Yeah. We have some hard facts and statistics, face-to-face hunger study we did. You did with us?
No, I wasn't there.
Okay. she was working at another nonprofit then. We did Hunger 101 with the seniors, and you wouldn't believe it. When we got through with that study, we were all exhausted with depression and, you know, not just tired and not being able to help all the seniors out there and have needs. And it was not, I have some facts and figures, statistics, you know, on that.
Yeah. Oh, it was, as we've talked about
it. We keep it totally confidential, but you know, it's out there.
Yeah. No, and you've had the Food for Life program around for a number of years now. And again, it's one of those programs
that
continues to grow.
With 8 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we also have the addition of the CSFP program.
Yes.
Which is another type of program that focuses on the seniors, but that is an income-based program. So if they don't qualify for CSFP by their income, then we can fall back on the Food for Life program if they qualify by age. So we try to cover that whole senior population as much as we can.
Yeah.
With both the programs. And we do real emergency too. You know, like if somebody don't have anything to eat today or tonight, they can call us. We can provide a couple of days food for them, then refer them to our pantries or help them how to get hold of one, how to get, you know, help, temporary help until they qualify to get in one of these programs.
I didn't realize that just the number of pantries that you all are servicing.
Well, all together, our service area is about 160 something, right? pantries and mobile pantries.
Programs.
And yeah.
A combination of different things.
Different things.
We say it all the time. Where would we be without the what you're able to provide?
Yeah, that's true. We have 70 pantries, but we really work with organizations and need, you know, about 160 to 165 programs.
And that's why, whether it's doing food drives or making donations, although even on the donation side, it's better to make a donation to you, Oya, yes. Because you can purchase food and get better deals than I could on my own.
That's true. And another thing, we're trying to push out more produce now, more healthy, fresh food whenever we have it available.
Yeah. I'm sure that goes quick. That when you have it, it goes quick.
Very expensive to buy. They can afford it.
Did you have a garden in the past years? You've had a garden outside the food bank. Have you had one this year?
No, we didn't because there was a volunteer project taken care of by volunteers.
Okay.
So this couple of years we didn't have it. We don't have a group, and now I don't know what will happen. We're going to try to expand the food bank's storage area and office area. We're probably going to use that land for that.
that's right. That's another
bursting at the seams.
That's another project that you've got. And that some of the work that you're doing to the facility there is LaToya, just because these programs that we've talked about, whether it's summer feeding or kids on the go or food for life. You just need more space to be able to put things together.
Yes. It's about storing food, but it's also about processing the food to get it ready to go out to the community. So we definitely need space. Yeah. You saw us when you were there for summer feeding. We have all the coolers spread out.
Yeah.
But we're still in the space where, you know, our partner agencies come in and they have to select the items that they need to stock their pantries. So we make the best use of our space as we can. But we are definitely looking forward to that expansion.
Yeah. We need more square footage.
Yes.
Well, when you talk about it, when you take a tour and look at the food bank, I mean, you're using every space, every inch that you've got, and it's a big operation because unfortunately there's a lot of hunger in the area.
It's so true, and you have to think about it. Not only do we have food going out. We have so much coming in from our retail donors to people donating. So we have to be able to manage the outflow and the influx of food that is coming in.
And
so.
What comes in, we got to sort it, inspect it, make sure it meets the, you know, sell by date or eat by date or whatever they put on it. A lot of work.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Oya Oliver and LaToya Brown from the Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank here this morning. Fredfood.org is the website. We will wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk. Ted Schubel.
We're talking about the Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank this morning with Oya Oliver and LaToya Brown. Almost out of time, but before we get out of here, Club Kids. LaToya, talk about that because we have neglected Club Kids today.
Uh-huh. Yes, we have two Club Kids programs. One is after school snack for in school purposes.
Okay.
So all of our partner agencies that come and want to take part of that, they come and pick up the snacks each month to distribute in school. But then we have our Fresh Prepare after school snack program, which is Club Kids 2. We're going to be restarting that this coming fall, and that is going to run much like the summer feeding program. We're going to prepare the snacks, deliver them to the sites, and they'll serve those to the kids. We have to follow the USDA meal pattern for that, so keep an eye out on that. It's coming.
And again, more opportunities to volunteer because all of these programs happen because there are people that volunteer and help put together or deliver and all that kind of thing.
And don't forget our annual agency seminar, September 5th. Dan, we want you to come on through.
It's informational and it's really inspirational.
It is. It's a time for all of our partner agencies to gather and some of our volunteers that supported us throughout the year to come gather, network, learn something new about the work that we're doing, and just share the success that we've had throughout the year. So September the 5th. At the Fredericksburg Expo Center.
You've moved up. It's a bigger spot. But I mean, as we talk about all these programs, I mean, you've got more agencies involved. You've got more people involved, and it's exciting to see what you're doing. When you on the other side of it, you look at the needs, but you are meeting a lot of needs. And wow, to have 9,600 kids this summer to feed them, it's just all you can do is just step back and say, wow.
Yes.
And well done.
And think about it. We're only a piece of that puzzle.
Yeah.
We're just a piece. There are other sponsors in our area. We're just a piece of that puzzle. So we're all doing our part to make sure that nobody in our community goes without food.
FredFood.org is the website, or you can call 371-7666. So many things going on with the Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank. Oya Oliver and Latoya Brown, you came on a day off. Thank you so much, and thank you for all you do in the community. We'll talk again soon.
We thank you for giving us the time.
FredFood.org. That's it. See you Monday.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.